The Bible says, Zechariah 4, verse 1, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof." Here we have a vision of a golden candlestick. And then we're going to get into some olive trees as well from verse 3 and following. But as we start verse 1, I want you to look at that verse just a second. "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep." Two things here. So God is communicating through to Zechariah through an angel. Now, just because God did that to Zechariah doesn't mean that he does that with you. And you have to say that because people don't understand that Hebrews chapter 1 says that God has spoken in time past in divers manners. So God spoke in the past in different ways. Dreams, visions, angels, audibly. But in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. And through the completed revelation of the Word of God, you have to understand that the Bible wasn't completed. It was being written during the days of these men. So they didn't have what we have, and we don't have what they had. They didn't have a completed Bible to see what God said. We do. We have a completed Bible, so we don't need angels and visions and dreams and whatnot. And the reason that's very, very important is because, hold your finger there, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, and you'd be surprised how many false religions started with some devil-possessed person that said an angel talked to them like he's talking to Zechariah. And really, that's a proud thing because there is nobody in the 20th century or 21st century that's as important as Zechariah. That really helps people, see. Well, God appeared to Saul on the road. Yeah, but you're not that important, you see. Amen. You're not going to write half the Bible, half the New Testament. No. You're not going to write another book of the Bible, so you don't get an angel. Paul even warned us. He warned the church that even after the Bible's completed, this is the completed revelation of God. He warned the church that people would come up and say, "Hey, an angel said so-and-so to me," like back in Zechariah's day. And that's not happening today. Galatians chapter 1, you can see that in verse 8. Well, look at verse 7. "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Verse 8, Galatians 1:8. "But though we or an angel from heaven," you see that? "Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So, if somebody did see an angel and they brought a new message for people today, God says they're cursed. And that would include, first of all, you have to go way back. You know where Islam came from? It came from Muhammad, that in his first revelation said an angel came to him. That's where Islam came from. Now, I don't know if a devil manifested himself to these people or whatnot, but Muhammad, when an angel, he says an angel comes to him, and that is the basis, will be the beginning basis for the Quran, which Paul warned about. Don't believe anybody that preaches anything except what we've already preached and we've already got written down. And if they said an angel came to them, let them be accursed. Don't listen. And the world would be a better place without the scourge of Islam. Because somebody said an angel talked to them, and a big portion of the world believed that. Well, then you got the second guy that came along, another scourge. And that's Joseph Smith. And he said an angel came to him, Moroni, or macaroni, whichever one you'll call him, you remember. And showed him these two tablets, and he's got a new Bible now. It's called the Book of Mormon. And so the Mormon religion began because a man said an angel came to him and talked to him. You know what that is? That is a religion that is cursed, according to Galatians chapter 1. Well, somebody else was that. Here comes along a woman, and the more I read about this woman, she is really devil-possessed. Ellen G. White. You ever heard of Ellen G. White? She is the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And her writings are equated with Scripture. And you know how all that began? She said, first of all, an angel came to her. And all of that, and it doesn't even matter if it goes to our confused charismatic friends. God's not going to come to you with an angel to tell you anything. If you want to hear God speak, open your Bible and read.
Amen.
Amen. Because you have something. Zechariah had an angel, but he didn't have a Bible. Okay? And he's going to be writing the Word of God, and you don't get to do that. So keep that in mind. All right, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of sleep. Now, Zechariah is not asleep, but he equates this angel coming to him as, that little word as, that's a figurative word. That's a simile. In other words, it was almost like I woke up out of sleep, but it was as. I didn't really wake up out of sleep, but it was like I was asleep. And what he showed me just brought things to life. Like I just woke up. You know, there's a lot of people that need to wake up. And there are three New Testament verses that tell us that, and grab them, we'll read them. Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 13. Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 15 and Ephesians 5. Zechariah says, man, it's like the angel woke me up. Well, I wish to God that some people would wake up that say they're saved and wake up to the truth, wake up to the light. And that's what the angel's going to show him. He's going to show him the light. And the following vision is going to be about a candlestick and a candle and light and oil and illumination. And he needs to see some things, but he can't see anything if he's asleep. You know, you can have the greatest sermon in the world and the greatest Bible in the world. If somebody's sleeping while it's being told, what do they get out of it? A big fat goose egg, right? I mean, they slept on Paul when he preached and then fell out of the window and died. All right, anyway, let's read these verses. Romans 13, verse 12, or verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. In other words, you know, you're getting closer and closer and closer to the day you're going to see God, see the Lord face to face. And as that day approaches, you need to wake up. You need to understand some things. Don't be asleep spiritually. Don't be as if you're asleep. Zechariah's not asleep physically, but his spiritual senses are asleep until the angel wakes him up to a truth, to a message. And we don't need to be spiritually asleep. And here he says, it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Look at verse 12. The night is far spent. You know, you've been sleeping too long. It's dark outside. But don't let it be dark in your heart. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Because all that stuff will put you to sleep spiritually. All that stuff will keep you walking instead of walking in the light, walking in the darkness. There's nothing like sin that puts somebody to sleep. Case in point, Samson. What did Delilah do? She put the strongest man in the world to sleep on her knees. That's what sin does to you. Makes you dead to the world. To where you have no spiritual sense at all. He said, wake up. Verse 14, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Next verse, 1 Corinthians 15, reference. 1 Corinthians 15. I used to preach this verse a lot when I would preach missions conferences. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, shame on you. There are people that don't know about your God. Why don't you wake up and do something about it? Wake up to the need of other people of the gospel. There's a lot of people that are just glad they're saved and they're asleep about the rest of the world going to hell. He said, wake up. One more, Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You say, what does this have to do with Zechariah's vision? Well, Zechariah had to wake up before he learned anything. We are reading this prophecy because Zechariah woke up. He woke up spiritually. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And we're fixing to get a little lesson about the light in Zechariah. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light, wherefore he saith, next word, awake. Awake thou that sleepest. This is written to save people. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Somebody that lives their life and they don't understand or do the will of God is somebody that is asleep spiritually. Someone that is unwise living their Christian life is someone that is asleep spiritually. Someone that's walking like a fool instead of walking in a smart way, in a straight way, in a right way in their life is someone that's asleep spiritually. And the Bible says, hey, you need to wake up. You know, if you got sin in your life, you need to wake up about it. If there's something you need to be doing for God, you need to wake up about it. If there's something that you need to fulfill in the will of God, you need to wake up. So God wakes, or the angel wakes up Zechariah to show him something. Go back to our text, Zechariah chapter 4. All right, he wakes him out of sleep. And then verse 2, or as a man is waked out of sleep, wakened out of sleep. Verse 2 says, and said unto me, what seest thou? And there's the truth. You can't see anything if you don't wake up. If your spiritual senses don't come alive, you never see anything. You ever heard anybody say, well, I just don't see that? Well, that's because you got to wake up. You got to open your eyes to see. What do you see? The angel said, what do you see, Zechariah? Look what he says. And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick. I see a candlestick. So here's a vision of a candlestick. Five things about this candlestick. Number one, he says it's a candlestick all of gold. All of gold. So he speaks about the purity and the costliness of this candlestick. You know, whatever God does and has and spreads in his light is always something that's pure. God's revelation is a pure revelation. And it results in a pure life as well. He says, first of all, this candlestick's all of gold. And then he says, with a bowl upon the top of it. So here's a candlestick. It's got a bowl on the top of it. And then keep reading. So that's the second thing. A bowl's on the top of it. And there's going to be something in the bowl, and it's important. Okay, keep reading. And his seven lamps thereon. So on this candlestick thereon, above the candlestick is a bowl, and on the candlestick there are seven lamps. And then he says there are seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top of it. So from the top of this bowl are coming these pipes that extend to these lamps that's going to keep them lit. Look over to verse 11. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? Verse 12. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves? So there's the oil, and as you know, for a candlestick, the oil for the light, you remember the virgins, you know, that needed oil for their lamps and all that. So to make these lamps lit, they have to have some fuel. They have to have some way to stay lit. And their fuel is going to be this oil that comes through these pipes. What a vision. Well, what is this? What's all this about? And then he says, lastly, verse 3, there are two olive trees on the, each side of it. And of course, Zechariah does like we would do. Verse 4, so I answered and spake to the angel and talked with me, saying, what are these? What is this? And it's almost like the angel's a little sarcastic, and he said in verse 5, then the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, knowest not what these be? Oh, you don't know what that is? No, that's why I asked. Doesn't that sound a little sarcastic? Come on, you don't know what this is? You know, I wonder if the Lord would talk to us that way. You mean you don't know how to live your life? You don't know the things in the Word of God? Why don't you know that? You don't know what that is? Like, isn't that what Jesus said to Nicodemus? Are you a master in Israel and you don't know what this is about, what I'm talking about? You know, you think you know the Scriptures and they're what's written to me and you don't know about that? I don't need to know that God can be sarcastic. I don't need that truth because I'm sarcastic enough. But that's sarcastic. Keep reading. He said, no, I don't know. Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, now watch this. This is the what? The word of the Lord. Psalm 119, 105, what does it say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The candlestick, and I'll mention that in a minute. The candlestick in the Old Testament tabernacle, in the Old Testament temple, in the holy place. That candlestick showed light upon another table, a table that was there. And on that table was the showbread, right? There was no other light. There's no other wind. There's not a window. There's no way to light for light to get in that holy place. Without that candlestick in the holy place, it is pitch black dark. But with that light shown, the other thing you see there, in besides the altar of incense, you see a table of showbread. And that table of showbread is just like when the Bible talks about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And they were six and six loaves, just like the 66 books. Anyway, that light was shining on that bread. It's a picture of how the Word of God is our lamp and is our light. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter 1:19, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So the Word of God, he says, Zechariah, this is the Word of the Lord. This is a picture of the truth. This is the picture of the light, is a picture of the Word of God. Of course, we know Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus is also the Word of God. He is the Word that made flesh. He's the capital Word. He's the Word that was with God and that Word that was God. Amen. And He's that light, just like this book we have before us is the light. Now, here's the thing. If this is the Word of God, the Word of God, the light of the Word of God has to have something to shine through. It has to have a medium from which to shine. The Word of God shined through Jesus, we know that. But here in the context of the Old Testament, that candlestick, the candlestick is not the light, okay? But the candlestick allows the light to shine. Without the candlestick, there's no place for the light to flow through. Now, three things about that. Hold your finger. Exodus chapter 12. The symbol of Israel, more than that flag right there, has been a candlestick, guys. Because what Israel was for God, Israel was the candlestick whereby God shone his light to the world. If you wanted to know about the true God and you lived in the days of the Old Testament, you're going to have to find it through the candlestick that God is shining it through, which is the nation of Israel. The oracles of God were given to Israel. God spoke through them, you see. He said in Exodus 25, verse 31, and thou shalt make a candlestick of what? Pure gold. And from verse 31 to verse 40, he talks about that candlestick that's in the tabernacle. And it's a picture over here of even in Zechariah, though there's a little bit difference there. And what I'm trying to say is that God used Israel as a candlestick to shine the truth to the world. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you understand? It's not just the God of whoever. No, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you want to know the true God, the living God, the Creator, you're going to have to find out about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if you're in the Old Testament. That's the candlestick. That's the light. But now, wait a minute. Go to Revelation chapter 1. What happened to Israel? They rejected the real light, didn't they? And God turned away from them. Listen, and he removed their candlestick. If you want to find out about the Word of God or the truth of God or the light of God, you can go to Israel and talk to all the Israelites you want to talk to and all the priests you want to talk to. You know what you'll learn about God? Not much. Because that's not how God is bringing his light to the world anymore. How do you know? Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Well, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest write in the book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden what? Candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about his paps with a girdle. Now drop down to verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. What? Look at it. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the what? Are the seven churches. So that candlestick now today, the light that God is trying to shine to the world, the light is on top of the candlestick, and it's not the candlestick of Israel. It's on the candlestick of the church. It's on the candlestick of his body. And that's why it's up to us to give the light to the world, because that's what the Lord has chosen to bring the light to the whole world so they'll know about God. The light is on our candlestick. It's our duty. It's on our watch to give them out, to give out the truth of the Word of God. But look at chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, Revelation 2, 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy what? Thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You know, he's saying, if you're not going to shine the way you're supposed to shine, then what's the point of you even having a candlestick? In other words, if I can't put my light on you, you don't have a purpose to even be there. Isn't that what the Lord says? If the salt has lost its savor, it's thenceforth good for nothing, that to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men, because we're the salt of the earth. But if we're not performing that function, then we have no reason to even be around. In other words, we the church are God's candlestick to shine the light. If we're not shining the light, we have no reason to be around. Because that's the purpose for us being left here to do that. Look at Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 15. So I understand in Zechariah's day that Israel is that candlestick shining the light. But now we as the church, we're the candlestick. We're to be shining the light. Mark chapter 4 and Luke 15. Mark 4 and verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a what? Now, if you're saved, you're a child of light. You're children of light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved, is in you. But you know what that verse just said? Your little candle is... Your little candle is going to make no difference in the world unless you put your candle on a candlestick. Do you understand what I just said? We have people today that are saved that think they don't need the church and they don't need to be connected with a church and that their life doesn't need to be involved in a church. And the Bible says, look, if you're a candle, if you have the light... Great. But if you've got the light, you need to put it on a candlestick so other people can see the light too. And according to Revelation, the candlestick is the church. In other words, take your light and put it on a church. Because when we put all of our candles on the candlestick, as a church, we can shine much brighter than if we're under a bushel or under our own bed at home. Amen. Every Christian's light needs to be on a church. Amen. As a corporate witness, not just about, you know, what I think, but no, together as God's people, we're shining the light. Luke chapter 15. You know this parable. This is the Luke chapter where all these things are lost, you know, the lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, all that. Luke 15, verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver? Of course, we as the church, we're likened unto a bride of Christ, right? What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a what? A candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. You know, he says, you know, you're gonna have to have some light if you're going to find that which is lost. And we have a lost world. And what I'm trying to tell you, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:15, verse 16, that we're supposed to shine as lights in the world and we're to be holding forth the word of light and holding forth the word of life. And the only way we're going to rescue the perishing, care for the dying and find the lost souls, if we get our lights and our candles burning and shining. And that is the intent all the way back to Zechariah. Here's the candlestick, Zechariah, and it's light. And Zechariah, your light. And Zechariah, Zerubbabel's light. And Joshua's light. Now you remember in Zechariah chapter 3, the previous chapter, before he gets this vision of the candlestick and the lamps and the oil and the pipes and the light. Before he gets that, the preceding chapter 3, is about Joshua. And Joshua's filthy and dirty and Satan standing against him, remember? And yet the Lord sticks up for him and changes his life and changes his garments. Puts a mitre on his head. What a picture of salvation we find in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, God gets saved. Zechariah chapter 4, we got a light shining. You see? We're saved to shine. Now, if you're not saved, you can't shine anything. But you're saved and God changes your life so you'll shine. But now, it's not you. Go back to Zechariah 4 there. That's where you see those pipes coming down from that bowl into those lamps. He says those seven lamps and the seven pipes to the seven lamps. Look at verse 6 again. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is. He told him what he just saw. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my what? Spirit, saith the Lord. He says, Zechariah, what's going to shine the light is not you and not Zerubbabel and not Josiah, but what's going to be shining the light is the Spirit, my Spirit. My Spirit is going to illuminate you so light can be in the world. See, end of verse 4, look at verse 14, last verse of the chapter. Then said he, these are the two what? anointed ones. He's talking about this golden oil, verse 12, and these golden pipes. And what makes those lamps shine is that it's energized with oil. It's energized with anointing. And he says, Zechariah, it's not your smarts. It's not your ability. It's not your money. But it's my spirit that causes your lamp to burn. It's my spirit that causes your light to burn. You know, what energizes even the Word of God. This is not just a bunch of words. This has been energized by the Spirit of God. This is breathed by the Spirit of God. It's alive by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's in these words. And when somebody reads them, that's why it works on them. It's not because this is, Cambria 12 font or India paper or a leather binding. The Spirit of God is in these words. And you know the truth of what he's showing to Zechariah. Zechariah, that's what you need to shine the light. That's what you've got to depend on. And church, look, we can have everything right. We can have every program. We can have all our I's dotted and all our T's crossed. We can have everything perfect. But without that pipe filling us, there's not going to be a bright light shining. That's why he told them in the book of Acts, he says, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, you see. You get that spirit, you get those pipes coming down into you and filling you up with oil, and you're burning. So you know what that means? That means the reason that I'm not a brighter light for Jesus is because my life's not getting fed with the pipe of the Holy Ghost. And I'm empty of oil. You can have the best car in the world, but it's not going to go anywhere without fuel. And church, our fuel is the Spirit of God. Whether it's teaching a class, preaching, working, whatever, is the Spirit of God. And we've got to depend and upon Him. We've got to seek His fullness. We've got to let His anointing control our lives. I'll give you one more and I'm finished. I am finished, really. In Revelation 11, though. So the candlestick is a picture of Israel. The candlestick is shining the light of the world. The candlestick is a picture of the church later on. You can see that in the verses we read. But lastly, and hold your finger there in Zechariah. Sorry. Keep your finger there because I've got to read these together. Revelation 11, it's a picture of one more thing. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. It's a picture for the tribulation period later on. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says, and I will give power unto my two, remember that, two, my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Watch the Lord. These are the two olive trees. You see that? And the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. That is a direct reference back to Zechariah. There's only one problem with that, because we got the two olive trees in Zechariah 4:3. But in Zechariah 4:2, we only have a candlestick. We don't have two candlesticks. So, not being very smart, I like to read other people. Long time ago, H.E. Ironside wrote this. He said, Israel's testimony as a nation was unified in the book of Zechariah. They had two religious leaders. They had two leaders. They had Zerubbabel, who was the civil leader, which is mentioned in this text. They had Joshua, the religious leader, who's mentioned in the prior chapter. Those are the two witnesses to Israel in Zechariah's day. They're their two leaders. And they're unified, and the nation is unified. But in the book of Revelation chapter 11, in the last days, in the tribulation period, the nation of Israel has no unified testimony. They are not, they still don't even believe in Christ as a nation. Not till he comes again. So in the tribulation period, these two witnesses are really standing up for their own testimony, their own witness, because nobody is unified together with them. The nation is not behind him. It is their testimony, but it's not the nation's testimony. So he says, these two witnesses stand. And I tell you what, we'll get into this later. But what God's going to do in the tribulation period is a wild thing when he lets these two guys stand up and preach and call down fire from heaven and stop the rain. And we got a powerful God. And the whole world is against these two guys. And these two guys are just standing up for God. And they're preaching and they're witnessing and they're giving out truth. And everybody hates them. Amen. And when the devil finally kills them and they lie in the street with their heads off and they're all giving gifts to each other, the devil's Christmas, and they're all having a good time because they hated their guts, God pops their heads back on their bodies and they shoot back up into heaven. Two men against the whole world. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad it's not just me and one other guy against the whole world. It's not just my witness and one other guy. Amen. I got a whole candlestick. Amen. That I can put my light on, my candle on, and shine together for the glory of God. Let's shine the light. I was talking to a guy today that visits church. He and his wife came a couple times. He just wanted some questions about the church. What your church is about. You know what our church is about? It's about shining the light.